Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 21st, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Gamblers often find that near misses are very significant, very special events, and they seem to encourage them to carry on playing.
Those who were given the chance to donate the money could hold the weight significantly longer than those who had a chance to just keep the money.
What we're talking about here is turning over the control of a physiologic parameter like blood glucose to an automated device.
Simply by trying to do good, you become the kind of person who's capable of heroism.
This week, we'll tell you why helping others might be good for your body. We'll also tell you about the one protein that could be controlling your entire brain and about new developments in diabetes care. But first, Suzanne investigates why near wins keep problem gamblers coming back for more.
If you've ever gotten 5 out of 6 correct numbers in a lottery drawing, you probably felt pretty lucky, even though you didn't hit the jackpot. Now, Cambridge University psychologists Henry Chase and Luke Clark think that to problem gamblers, near misses like that can be nearly as rewarding to the brain as a real win. Clark explains.
Technically, you haven't won anything and you've lost your wager. But gamblers often don't treat them like that. They find that near misses are very significant, very special events, and they seem to encourage them to carry on playing. And we've been trying to model that phenomenon in the laboratory.
He and Chase scanned the brains of volunteers while they were gambling. An area of the brain's reward center responded more strongly to near-miss outcomes in problem gamblers than in people who gamble just for fun. He says the findings could be helpful in developing treatments for gambling addiction.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Karina Wu explains the physical benefits of being helpful.
Helping others might not only make you feel good, it could also increase your physical endurance. That's according to a new study by Kurt Gray, a doctoral student in psychology at Harvard University. He did a simple test where he gave passersby a dollar that they could either keep or give to charity. Then Gray asked them to hold a 5-pound weight away from their body for as long as they could.
Those who were given the chance to donate the money could hold the weight significantly longer than those who had a chance to just keep the money.
Gray says the effect is due to a self-fulfilling prophecy. We think of superheroes as having enhanced abilities, so when we do good, we become the kind of person who is capable of heroism. He says we can apply this idea to any situation where self-control is needed.
You simply do a small good deed, let's say, before you know that your willpower is going to be called upon.
Gray's study appears in the journal Social, Psychological, and Personality Science.
Thanks, Karina. Over 15 years ago, researchers reported that college students who listened to Mozart music did better in a particular type of mental test. What followed was Mozart mania, with people playing Mozart for their teens, their toddlers, even their fetuses. But a new study this week from scientists at the University of Vienna looked at follow-up studies with thousands of subjects and concluded that there is no Mozart effect. Nevertheless, the researchers say you might want to listen to it anyway, just because it's so lovely. In other musical news, researchers at Boston University School of Medicine report that patients with Alzheimer's disease are much better at remembering song lyrics that are sung rather than spoken, while healthy older adults showed no such differences. The scientists say that understanding how music helps Alzheimer's patients form memories could lead to new therapies.
Our brains control everything we do by sending and receiving electrical signals triggered by chemicals called neurotransmitters. It turns out that all this, in turn, depends on a single protein. It's called synaptotagmin 1, and it's long been known at least to play an important role in neurotransmitter release. But now, Iowa State University biophysicist Young-Kyun Shin and his colleagues showed that it's the linchpin of the process. They did so by stripping the system down to just the synaptotagmin protein and what's called the snare complex, which is the machinery that opens up the chambers that contain the neurotransmitters. When stimulated with a threshold amount of calcium, as it would be when receiving a neurological signal, the protein caused the snare complex to open. Shin suspects that defects in this protein could underlie many neurological disorders from epilepsy to schizophrenia. He'd like to find a way to manipulate the protein therapeutically. Since this is a master switch, the hard part, of course, would be targeting only those brain pathways that weren't working.
Thanks, Justin. People with diabetes have to constantly check their blood sugar, with insulin always at the ready. But an artificial pancreas may someday free their minds. Researcher Stephen Russell of Massachusetts General Hospital is one of its developers.
What we're talking about here is turning over the control of a physiologic parameter like blood glucose to an automated device.
Specifically, a computer chip that uses blood sugar levels to decide when to deliver insulin or glucagon. Russell's team tested a prototype on 11 diabetic patients. After some fine-tuning, it successfully controlled all of the patient's blood sugar over 27 hours and 3 meals. The next trial will be twice as long, and the device will be fully wireless, coordinating an electronic blood sugar monitor and a skin-mounted pump. And in other diabetes news, keeping your gums healthy with good dental hygiene has always been a good idea, but it may be especially important for people with type 2 diabetes. Scientists at the University of Edinburgh have found that when diabetics with gum disease got dental care, their blood sugar dropped to healthier levels. Researchers believe that inflamed gums cause changes in the blood that make it resistant to the effects of insulin, preventing the body from controlling blood sugar.
And scientists at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center have found that in mice, intermittent hypoxia, a drop in oxygen, increases insulin resistance, which can lead to diabetes. People with sleep apnea, which is when you stop breathing periodically overnight, also experience hypoxia. The next step is to see if sleep apnea causes insulin resistance in humans.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of intriguing science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.